Johnny, hello.
How are you going?
How, like, in fear of sounding as Aussie as, how the bloody hell are you, mate?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Thanks for having me back on.
Dude, we're back. We're back. Thank you for coming back on and risking it all again, your reputation and all that sort of stuff. For those that are listening, maybe for the first time, there's 45 other episodes that you can listen to. They were like a year or so ago. And you just needed to take a break, just needed to walk away. And I wasn't sure. I never kind of said never again. I never said I'll be back. I just kind of had to put it. And then just recently talking to a few friends, probably my best retro friend, retro gaming friend, Mike Coolican from the Shameless Plug Played Up podcast with Sean and Neil and Dennis. He was like, it was pretty good, man. It was pretty good. You know, like, and then I spoke to a few people and they're like, yeah, that was really great. So, you know what? It's something I wanted to do and times are good. And yeah, so you and I, Johnny, the last time we spoke, we've chatted in between on Instagram. I've got a lot to blame on you since then. I have a lot of consoles that started with a conversation we had, but it was late March 2022. So, yeah, I guess anybody that wants to catch up can go and look at Johnny's Instagram, RetroGamerX1987, all one word, and you will see that Johnny has an extensive library of all sorts of excellence. Johnny, in summary, tell us a little about yourself, mate.
Yeah, so I'm a dad. I've got two boys.
Yep. How are the boys?
Full-time, obviously. Nah, that's it now. That's enough.
Just the two, yeah.
Just the two. They keep me busy. And obviously, yeah, collecting video games is my my hobby, my passion. Been doing that over 20 years now. And yeah, just continue to love it. Brings me back to happy times. And, you know, I like sitting in, you know, and relaxing and having a look at everything I've amassed over the years.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's
yeah.
probably in summary.
I was out walking the dog this morning and I listened to the episode that we did back in March 22 and the things that kind of come up were like I just like fanboyed over. You got a few arcade cabinets, a Daytona and a Tekken 3, and we're talking about how you were kind of keeping those alive. And then I think we kind of touched on, more than touched on, you had purchased every PlayStation on launch or every console from like PS1 from launch, and then Xbox 360 was, you pretty much from launch bought that and then bought almost every game in Australia, and kind of that became your sole primary, I think, collection target. And then what I've noticed lately is that one thing you put up is a Nintendo 64 kiosk, like the sort of thing you'd see in Harvey Norman. And you've got a bunch of them lined up there. I see an Xbox One, I see a PlayStation One, and a 64 one. Like, dude, you don't aim small.
Yes. So that's also, when you collect for a long time, that becomes, what's the next thing? You know, like you accumulate a lot of games, and then you're looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
So I'm officially out of room, but those three now sort of a great display pieces. So I'm not sure if the last time we spoke I had the second room set up, but I've actually got two games rooms now. So my sort of main one that I game in, and then I just started to have a lot of overflow of things I've accumulated, and the room behind my games room was actually a spare bedroom that we had. And yeah, my wife actually agreed to let me take that over, and
now she's a keeper.
She is. I've set that up now. I'm in the midst of rearranging it all because I got this new kiosk.
Yeah.
So both rooms are a bit of a mess, but I'm hoping to finish tidying that up over the weekend. But
when you're in a good space and a good place with all your stuff. And you do have a shit ton of stuff. Like, you really do have a lot. I know last time, again, I'm going to refer back to the episode we did back in March 2022. And a question I asked you, and I kind of laughed at myself, was like, insuring everything. And then I was like, I rattled off and went, oh no, if I talk about insurance, my house will probably burn down because I'm tempting fate and blah, 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 blah. But like, have you done anything more on that? Because when you start talking about things like games are games, Let's say everything is valuable. Like when you own your first three Game Boy cartridges, they're like the most amazing things in the world. You're like, oh my God. And you know, that's like a little fishing boat. And now you've got like this massive nuclear powered aircraft carrier of a collection. Has anything changed on that front as you start to move into these massive, huge, holy grail type items?
Yeah, I've got them listed down. We've got them insured. But yeah, obviously a lot of the stuff, if something was, heaven forbid, if something was to happen, there's sort of a lot of it is irreplaceable type of thing, or you'll be difficult to get those things again. But yeah, it is what it is. I can't think negative.
No. Where have you kind of acquired the kiosks from? Are they just been privates or like collectors or just randos? Have any of them been sitting in the back of a EB Games and someone just said, "Hey, did you want this?"
Oh, I wish. That'd be a cheaper way to collect it. No, word of mouth and Facebook Marketplace. Yeah, so
Are you willing to give any kind of indication, like, because you've got, and I think it's going to vary depending on the flavor and the quality and all that stuff. But I'm really curious. Like, I have a rough idea of what consoles and games are worth. But if someone said to me, "Hey, do you want to buy this kiosk?" I'm not sure what condition you bought them in, whether they had the screens in them and all other, you had to do much work and stuff. But can you give me an indication of like the kiosk market? What is a decent price for one that's been looked after by a collector and it's just cleaning out, do you think, these days? And you don't have to give away the value of your stuff, but just in general.
Yep. So the lower end of the scale is Xbox, obviously, and that's probably about $1,000. And Nintendo, we all know anything in, the collector's world with Nintendo is probably higher towards the $5,000 mark.
And anything with the six and the four in the name is like you could just double it, right?
Yeah, and 64 is pretty desirable, and yeah, a lot of stuff. If it's Australian exclusive is pretty pricey. It's you can go from $300 for a cart for Kirby 64 to having it complete in box. People are trying to sell it for about 3,000. So yeah.
I try to keep my finger on the pulse where I can, but I'm not one looking for, big market price stuff because I'm just not going to buy it. But I still feel that the 64, when you look on the local Facebook marketplace or whatever, it's still, if you see any of those like translucents, the blue and the watermelon and stuff, they still seem to be that probably higher end of the everyday. And considering a lot of them were fairly mass produced from is my understanding, like yes, they're rare, but they're not like a Neo Geo, that was expensive from the start, but just has that sort of pedigree. Have you found, like, I know you and I talked about COVID and I was talking about, oh, it doesn't matter what Game Boy is, it could be sitting in the bottom of a barrel of oil, any type. People are just asking $200 because they saw one for $200. And I can see that's dipped now. And it's a shame because I've kind of moved on a tiny bit. I was like, damn, I could have saved some money if I just waited like 2 years. Are you seeing the same as I'm seeing, where the 64 line is just still flat, if not creeping up ever so slightly as time goes on?
Yeah, so I've noticed a lot of games have sort of started to come down a little bit, which is good. It's steadied out a little bit, but yeah, Nintendo stuff, the first party, more desirable stuff, it's holding its value.
Something I really love about your collection, and it must be hard because yes, you've got two rooms, but I still know what it's like to have a bunch of stuff, and that's all relative. And I guess there's one part of the question. One part of the question I have is how much of it lives in boxes and you rotate. But if you flick through your collection, you have a lot of things that are like kind of merch and stuff. Like there's a Yoshi bum bag or a fanny pack for those that might not be in Australia. You've got, like a Donkey Kong drink bottle and lunchbox and Mario Kart 64, like kind of Hot Wheels cars, and it just goes on. There's like an Xbox 360 headpiece and a Sonic watch, and all this is in package. I have a lot of stuff around where I just kind of stick one of those little clear sticky hooks on the wall and it kind of hangs like on card. But you have so much. That's what I love. And how much of it lives in a box and you've got to kind of rotate it, do you reckon?
all of it is on display.
Are you
That's why I
serious?
needed the second.
Wow.
Yeah, so the thing I'm going through at the moment, so all of those, watches and lunch boxes and things like that, I like to display that as well. So I've got a couple of glass display cabinets and they're living in there at the moment, and I'm trying to get another one just to sort of put those little what should we call it, like little knickknacks, I guess,
Trinkets and yeah.
figurines and yeah, trinkets and stuff. But sort of, I guess, part of this collecting journey over the last couple of years I've been going through, and I do have a lot of stuff, and you don't realize how much you have until you, like last night, I'm trying to rearrange this second room because I've had to make room for this kiosk. And once you start taking it all apart and moving it and cleaning things, and you're like,
Oh my
holy
God.
crap, how much, yeah, how much stuff. My wife walked out and she's like, oh my God, you got so much crap. So at the moment, yeah, all of it is on display. I try to display it as best as possible. So like you come into the room and you can see all the boxes and limited edition consoles. So what I'm doing at the moment is just trying to have all the limited edition consoles on display, in that sort of second games room, if you want to call it, along with the kiosks. That's more the retro gaming room. I've got some CRTs in there and all my retro console set up. But everything, all the statues, all the figures, sealed items, they're all on display.
Yeah,
So
that's
I'm
sick.
sort of probably putting away like my normal boxes. So if I got a normal PS1 or PS2 box, they're sort of in the cupboard in my storage, and just all the limited edition variant consoles are on display.
You've got so many things that I'm sure it's one of those collections where even you like it's easy sometimes for us to kind of move on to this and that and look around. And I look around my room where I'm sitting right now, and every time my eyes land on something, I'm almost just I just look at that. I'm like, oh, I remember that, and that was cool, and it's all that. But you've got so many things that are just next level. Like for example, I'm looking at here, you've got a it's a Game Boy Pocket in box, but it's the Donkey Kong Land Gold Special Edition pack. Now, it could almost be empty, and that box is gorgeous. Like, just good, let alone what's inside it. And I've seen some of these things, like the Star Wars one, where it's just a pocket, it's just a copy of the Star Wars cartridge. Realistically, they're kind of redundant without the box because there's nothing special about them. You must have so many other things like that. And if you're like me, where you're just trying to curate the room, and I do it only for me, and I'm kind of like, I want to be able to sort of swivel around in my chair, and almost everything has got like I can see it. It's not obscured. I just recently, I know last time you and I talked about the repro Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures, and I've got the four up on the wall here. Well, for Christmas, I asked my wife, "Can you wait the Mutants of Mayhem? Have you seen the latest animated movie?
Yep.
Out of 20, what did you give it?"
Out of 20, what did I give it? 12.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well,
Yeah.
we won't go down that road then. I don't like to get disagree with people. I got to see a Teenage Mutant Ninja movie, Turtles movie in the cinema with my 12-year-old daughter. You know, like even if it was junk, I would have loved it. And I saw another mate of mine, Josh, and I'd never been in the movie with Josh before. He's fun. We played a lot of board games together. And he was just like laughing and making this noise. It was like having another 10-year-old movie. But anyway, back to the thing. I asked for the four Turtles figures on the card, and my mother-in-law took over and bought all of them, every one for that series. So sort of back there in one of the shelves, and you can see it on my Instagram. And I 3D printed these little shelves. So no matter where I'm standing, I can sort of see two-thirds of every figure. Do you have this problem where you need to be able to kind of get an angle and nothing's behind anything hidden away?
Yeah, of course you want to have it, it's things you love, so you want to be able to see it and have it set up. So the only problem is when you try and do it like that, you take up more room, so you can't just sort of fill the shelves up. You want to display them and have them on a certain angle and have them visible when you walk into the room. I sort of think of presentation, when I set it up and I walk in, how does it present? That's what I think about. So it does take up more room, but it looks way better, which I'm going through now. I'm trying to make sure I have enough shelf space.
When now you're going through it, is there much stuff where you kind of pull something out, or it was just maybe slightly obscured by other things? You're like, I kind of forgot I had that, and that's pretty cool. Or, I know what these are worth. I could probably liquidate this without too much heartache.
No, nothing, no, nothing like that. But when I go through my storage space in the cupboard, I have a lot of things, and I probably a little bit over 12 months ago, I went through a phase where I was like, if I can't display it, you know, if it doesn't mean enough for me to display it, then I'm not going to just let it sit here in the cupboard. I'd rather sell it to another collector who is going to display it or appreciate it. So
Good man.
just things like Master Replica Star Wars lightsabers. You know, I bought them when they first came out, you know, 2005 or six, like that. And I had a couple of them, but they just sat in the cupboard. I had nowhere to display them, so I sold them. You know, I don't want it to sit in a dark cupboard, not on display. I'd rather another collector have it, that that's their focus and they can display it.
Yeah, I know last time we talked similarly, and I don't know if I would bring it up because I might, you might be like, oh, I don't really want to talk about it. But you used to have some pretty expensive Dreamcasts. One was like that. From memory, it was like a Sonic 20th anniversary signed by some dude, 40th in the world, 40 of them in the world. And he was a, you had the same sentiment where you're like, you know what, I don't need it. There's no point hoarding it. Someone is gonna freaking love this. Financially, you were like, damn it, I should have hung on to it. But it's a really positive way of going about it. There is enough to go around. People forget that. And unfortunately, that's what kind of inflates the market.
So no, I do. That is a sore point. I do miss those
I'm sorry,
Dreamcasts now that you
mate.
mention it. So I actually had to make a bit of a sacrifice to get this Nintendo 64 kiosk. So I had the Joker Xbox 360 console, which was only 55 of those made. It was a Domino's competition in 2008.
In the
I had
world.
to. Yeah, 50, so they made 55 of the Joker and 55 of Batman for the Dark Knight movie. It was
Oh
a
my
Domino's
God.
promotion in the US.
Did you win it or buy it?
I brought it. So it was like a college student that won it in the US, and he didn't want it. He just wanted some money. It was a college student. So I brought that off him, and I'd held on to it. I'd had it since 2008, but it was just. I'd rather, I guess, the kiosk meant more to me to have that Nintendo kiosk, so I had to sacrifice something. But it's all good. It's just part of collecting.
When we, and I'll keep saying this, people get sick of it. When we last spoke, I think I was about to get the Xboxes, and it would have been like maybe a week later, I bought an original Famicom off a local guy here. And then when I picked up off him, and you and I talked to you about Dreamcast and Saturn. I was like, oh, I know, all sounds a bit fancy. I'd done the research on ODEs for them. I had seen the mode was probably the option because I was like, you can actually take the mode ODE by Terra Ungen, and the same one will go in a Dreamcast or a Saturn. So I was like, oh, that's okay. I could just bolt it in, play that for a bit, unbolt it. If I ever buy the other one, whatever. And then when I bought the Famicom off the dude, I was like, well, what else you got? Like, what do you do? Why do you have this? He started telling me, and I was like, oh boy. And then like a week later, he messaged me and he goes, I've got a Dreamcast. Are you interested? And I was like, oh, maybe. And he goes, oh, but it's NTSCJ. And I was like, what does that mean? And he told me, and I started research. I was like, oh, a Japanese only one. And I was listening to again today, and you were saying you had the white Saturn NTSCJ, and I got the Dreamcast, and then like 2 weeks later he's like, do you want a Saturn? I was like, I guess. And so I got the same thing then, so I had to go through and buy a 240 to 110 step down, and then I ended up buying like a Jap power board and had the cables and stuff. And the Saturn now is where I go. That's my happiest place. Like, I just recently, I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good gamer, to be honest. And I went recently and picked up a couple of those original Saturn fight sticks, the black ones, for $50 each from a local like computer shop here in Brisbane, in box. And it's just so good. Like it feels like I've got to set up in the living room. I've got someone coming around tonight, and we're playing. I'm playing like shmups on a like 60-inch projector screen, and it's so good, so good. I'm still terrible, but it looks great, sounds great, feels great. You get to press a button and put credits in, and it just feels like an arcade. Are you still the Saturn fan that inspired me and now has ruined my life? Or made it much better, one or the other.
I'm glad I rubbed off on you.
Dude, it was.
Sega all the way. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm still I love Sega Saturn, Sega Dreamcast. The last since we last spoke, I've accumulated a good amount of Sega Saturn games. I'm got a I'm a few more away from being happy with having, all the ones that I want. But
It's surprising how cheap some games are. Like you'll see games around for 20 or 30 bucks. They might not be, Panzer Dragoon, but there's still like a Saturn game for 20 bucks.
Yeah, you can still get some good ones for a decent price. But it's funny that you mention the SD cards and modded, because obviously I collect physical media, so I like having physical games. But I'm actually going down this journey myself. So I've got a original since we last spoke, I've got an original Xbox, which is just modified with pretty much every game on the hard drive. With the Nintendo kiosk, I got an NTSC console with an EverDrive cart, which has most of the N64 games on it.
Yeah, sick.
And with the PS1 kiosk, I've got a PS1 with an X Station
Oh,
with an
did you do that
SD card in it.
yourself? The X Station?
Nah, I'm not. No, I'm not that talented.
One thing I will say is I sometimes have to wear glasses now for short-sightedness stuff. Like if I'm sitting in front of a computer or on a phone, and I did my X Station a few years ago, maybe before we spoke, maybe after, I don't know, but I should have been wearing glasses then because that was so fun. I was pretty sure I was gonna stuff it up, but yeah, it's pretty great. Anyway, keep going, X Station.
Yeah, so I've got those three consoles now, and every now and again I'll come across a GameCube or a Dreamcast or a Saturn that's been modded. Eventually I'll tick them off the list. It's just convenience,
Isn't it?
like it's just sit like especially with the kiosk, you don't want to be changing, trying to drag the kiosk out, get the console out, swap the cartridge or the game, open it up. It's just convenience. And when you have people over, you have them running, they can play whatever they want. But yeah, definitely probably, a Dreamcast, a Saturn and a GameCube. Eventually I would grab those as well and just have them set up in that sort of retro games room with the CRTs, and just convenience. I know it sort of defeats the purpose of, it's like people say,
No,
oh,
not at all.
why you got all those, why you got all those games. But
It's
yeah, it's
very different. It's a different content, especially if you're looking at, your collection is a much, you can be a whole like philanthropist type, but the collection is as much about preservation as it is about you owning, possessing. And this especially if you've got a lot of stuff that's in box, like having to pull a cart out of its original plastic bag that's probably taped. So I'm sure there's things you've got, games you've got, they've never left the plastic bag. The factory tape hasn't been removed. And the box, you open the box once to make sure the game's in there. You looked at it, it's the right color, you put it back. And to pull those things out on a semi-regular basis, A, interferes with the item, and B, is kind of annoying and hard work. And the fact that you own so many games means that you're probably like the most legally able to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the old Nintendo games, the cardboard, opening, as you said, opening and closing it, they're sort of packed away. They look beautiful on the shelf. They're all in box, they're complete. You don't want to be opening and closing them all the time. So definitely for convenience, it's so good.
Yeah, awesome. And so with the Saturn stuff, have you kind of gone, have you aimed for just like, because I mean, the Saturn was available in Australia, but to be fair, it was sort of like the US and Japan. And it was pretty interesting to see how horribly, atrociously the US treated the Saturn compared to Japan. I don't know what Sega
Mm.
was doing. I mean, I've watched a number of little docos and stuff on it, and they kind of actually sort of they kind of torpedoed it, and that's a shame. Like the CEO at the time had other plans, and that's fine, whatever. History is what it is. But the Japan library, and even there's so many games, like if you're just getting into shmups and fighters, language isn't a barrier. There's so much information, and you're literally just shooting at things coming down, and then eventually some dude in a Robotech helmet yabbers some crap, and you're like, all right, next stage, let's go. Have you kind of leaned towards like, I'm just going to try and secure all the US because there was only 236 games or anything crazy like that?
No. If I did that, I'd be broke.
Yeah.
But I really only exclusively collect PAL games.
Right.
So, I do have a couple of Japanese games for Dreamcast and Saturn, which were sort of released over there only. But for the most part, I just like collecting the PAL
Yeah.
games. Obviously, I like those long box cases for the Sega Saturn.
Oh, right.
I
There's a
think they
difference,
look.
is there?
Yeah, so the UK and Australia had sort of long box for their games, and
Mm.
with the Japanese releases, and US actually has long box as well, but they're a different style. It's actually really flimsy. Both the US and the PAL versions are actually very flimsy, the cases, and then the Japanese releases are just sort of dual CD cases. So yeah, I'm sort of shumps. I'm not really into fighters. I'm terrible at.
Oh,
So
same here,
yeah, and
mate.
then RPGs are not really my thing either, and I wouldn't be able to get Japanese RPGs. I just wouldn't understand it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you know why they went for that longer box format for those like sort of Oz UK? Was it just to stand apart from all the others? Because I have read and heard of people that kind of like it's annoying because just the height of them and they just stick out and they don't quite work in the average IKEA shelf or stuff like that.
No idea why they went to them. The only problem with it is the outside of the cover, it's actually glued in, glued onto the case. So
All right.
if your case gets damaged, it's very difficult to swap cases. It's not as easy as a PS1 game. You know, if you damage a case and you just want to swap it with another game, it's very tricky to do. So it is a bit annoying. Especially if the little CD holder breaks to hold a CD. If that breaks,
Oh, that's it. It's done.
that's it really.
I
Later on they had a slip cover, the later
Right.
releases, but the earlier ones are glued on.
So that sort of brings up a whole segment of like within the market. Like I know it's sort of like Sega stuff is really like as in Mega Drive stuff. It's actually, because they did a lot of plastic cases, they're kind of like, it's not hard to collect them in reasonable shape. Whereas I think Nintendo did a lot of box stuff, and so it's a lot harder to get that sort of stuff. But that, like, as if Saturn isn't tough enough, then you've got the original cases that don't have the broken CD holders. Like, oh, that's does that knock like 30%
And
off a game if it's got the broken CD holder?
well, I wouldn't. I'm fussy, so I wouldn't
Yeah.
even buy it. I wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah.
On top of that, a lot of them are warped as well, so you'll see like a lot of ripples in the cover,
Oh, as it's, yeah.
and the glue comes off. So the glue, I've had a few with the glue coming off, and I've been able to fix them. If you there's I think it's made by 3M, very, very thin double-sided tape. And
Right.
basically, you put the double-sided tape on, you can't even tell, and you can glue them back on, and they come out perfect. But yeah, with their age.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of Saturn games that came with my Saturn. I'm just looking up here to see if I can see them. They're probably not that great. But I was trying, do they have like a plastic kind of sleeve around them as well, like all the other sort of DVD covery
No,
games?
only the later releases. So towards the end, there was a couple of games which had the plastic cover around the outside, and they just slipped the cover in.
Yeah.
But all the early releases are like a thicker cardboard, and they're glued on.
Yeah, right. Oh, there they are. Oh, and the ones I've got are JAT ones. They're up next to my Nintendo DS, and they're the same size, just like a normal
Yeah, they're
CD.
just a, yeah, they're like a normal CD, yeah.
I can't reach. I'm all tied up with headphones and my ceiling fans on. So one of them's a Gundam game, and it's just, oh my God. And I was into Gundam at a stage. I was like, yeah, I can't do it. I couldn't possibly play it. It's so Japanese. It's crazy. And it's in Japanese, and it's really great. And it's actually brutal. I remember when we went to Japan in 2019, and I was like so deep into Gundam. And I went to an arcade, and they've got this one floor that was pretty much, you know, those big round pod games. There's a Star Wars one and a few others, and you get in there, and it's like fairly immersive. And I was like, this is gonna be so sick. And I got in there and put my like $6 in, and just got hosed by 30 dudes that are there at 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, I could never be a Gundam pilot. This is bullshit. And all the games are exactly the same. Doesn't matter what console I played them on, you just get, unless you go back and play something really old, you just get hosed. It's so quick.
Nah, I've never been into that, so I can't relate there.
You're probably, unbeknownst to you, like you've probably got like 30 different Gundam games, because it's sort of, it's sprinkled through the gaming universe.
The only ones I think are sort of the Virtua.on
Right.
games I've got on. Yeah, they're probably that's probably yeah the ones I've played.
And so have you done much more with the Dreamcast stuff that you, I don't want to bring it up again if you don't want to talk about it.
I've just been ticking off. So I've stayed away from any of the limited edition consoles and things like that. They're just probably price-wise now, just ridiculous and sort of out of my reach to try and start recollecting those. So I've just been ticking off a couple of games if I come across them cheap enough, or you know, I think they're a good price, or I've been after it for a while. I'll pick them up along the way. Couple of sealed controllers and things like that I've got just for display, but yeah, just the usual, and just been playing them, you know, sort of on the weekends. Just they got a lot of good arcade games, so you know, you can just sort of play for 20 minutes, half an hour, beat them, some of them,
You mentioned that
that
last
types of
time. Like,
things.
what are the sort of the arcade games? Because you did say that, and I was like, oh, really? I didn't notice that. It was more when I got to the Saturn, and I think even what I see is still more Japanese arcade games at home. Like, I feel like the Saturn is kind of the sort of mainstream, cheaper cousin of the Neo Geo. Two very different machines aimed at two very different markets. One thing is the Neo Geo originally started like in a hotel chain, and you could kind of just hire one for the room. And people were like, these are amazing. Really? Let's charge a lot of money for them. Let's see if they sell. And they did. Different story. But when I remember sort of looking at the Dreamcast and enjoying it, lots of gorgeous games. What are the kind of arcadey games that come to mind for you then when you talk Dreamcast?
Dynamite Cop, and on the Saturn, Die Hard Arcade, they're one and two basically. Love those. Just like run through, beat 'em up. You can grab guns, shoot. Based off Die Hard, of
I'm taking
course.
notes.
Yeah, definitely. On the both of them are great. I've probably got more fond memories of Die Hard Arcade on Sega Saturn.
Yeah, I gave it a go the other
Just something
day.
about it.
It's super kooky. I kind of, it's good, but I feel a bit like you're kind of moving around, kind of in almost in water. Like they move around, but I feel like there's this kind of weird slugginess, and you kind of just got to understand the physics. I haven't played with two people yet. It's on my list to play tonight when Sean comes over, because I think it would just be messy. You get to a point where you're in this really small room and you pick up a rocket launcher and just start like
Yes.
firing 8 feet away. There's no backblast or anything. It's just killing those dudes. It's fairly hilarious.
It is very floaty. But yeah, no, it's fun. Even co-op, my son and I will play that together. Sega Rally on
Oh,
Sega
of
Saturn.
course, of
I
course.
always play that. And then they on the Dreamcast, Daytona is always a go-to,
Was it the
actually.
Champion Circuit Edition?
It is.
I actually
And
I was
then
talking to Blake the other day about buying one of those wheels. And the reviews aren't positive. Have you got the wheel and what's your feelings?
I can't use the wheels, though, especially those older ones. They're not very responsive.
The
So when I
original kind
was
of
a kid, I
black
used
one.
that. Yeah, I used to have it for the PS1. And yeah, they're not very, well, I
Yeah.
didn't, my memories of it are not very responsive.
Yeah. You also own
Have you
Daytona
put,
arcade machines, so like
exactly.
your standard of a wheel that works is fairly high.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Have you played Ready to Rumble Boxing?
No. What's this?
Yeah.
Is this Saturn?
Dreamcast.
Right.
So that's a pretty fun game. That's
Cool.
there's two of them. There's two of them, and you know, a lot of it's just late 90s, early 2000s arcade
Yeah,
boxing,
sick, sick.
funny characters,
Yeah.
special guests, things like
Right.
that in there. Yeah.
The
Celebrities. It's pretty good.
other day on Saturn, I loaded up Shinobi X.
Yep.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. Like the whole, are you aware of this game? Have you seen this game?
Yes, I haven't. I don't own it. I haven't
Yeah.
played it.
The
But yeah,
intro's like this really kind of terrible 90s Japanese ninja show, and it's so good. It's so terrible. And then the game is slightly digitized, a little bit like Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
I was terrible at it. There's some timing required in that game. But just it's what I find with like Saturn, because they had so much room. I watch all the intros, like Sonic Wings, which is effectively just a vertical scrolling shooter, is it Aero Fighters or Blasters or something like that. And I'm just like, for 10 minutes, you see this whole intro about the politics of this and that and the different planes, and it introduces it, and it's like credits roll and stuff. And they just had so much pride in their work. And yeah, it blows me away. But Shinobi X, get a hold of it just to watch the intro video because it's hilarious.
Is the game any good? Because if you're like, yeah, if I add that to the collection, the PAL version's actually pretty expensive. So what's your
Oh.
recommendation?
Wait to try and emulate it somewhere and see what you reckon. Look, it's very shinobi. Like, I'm not very good at any of the shinobis. I just don't have the reflexes. I'm getting worse and worse. If you're a shinobi fan and you're good at those sort of side scrolling, shinobi type platformers, then I think you'd probably enjoy it. There's some of these games start when they start to use more buttons. There's a shooter on Saturn that I played the other day. I've been working through a list of the ones I've got, trying to pick out which ones would be good for if someone comes over. And it uses all six buttons. Every button does a different type of weapon. And I didn't even pick anything up off the bat. I can spread out, I can throw these, I can shoot backwards, I can fire this other green stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. Do I just randomly press a button and just hope for the best? So the Saturn. Like, I've watched a lot of Kid Shuriken, and he's in like Japanese arcades, and there's dudes in there just going full Jedi, and just it's bullet hell, and this guy's probably thinking about work. He doesn't even know what he's doing, and it feels you can sort of get a sense of that from the Saturn, from the Japanese shooters. Shinobi X uses more buttons than I need to use.
It's amazing when you get older. I feel old now. I just have no reflexes at all. And I was watching that 13-year-old kid play Tetris who beat the game the other day, and they were showing him playing and how he was moving on the controller. Just blew my mind, like how quickly and how they process everything and their reflexes. It's crazy.
I remember watching one of those oh, they have that big thing every year, like I think it's a winter one and a summer one, where they just like do like speed run on games, like for charity, and it's all live. I'm not sure. Are you aware of this thing?
I know there's a few of them, a few different ones.
And it's got a really cool acronym and stuff. But they had two dudes that played like Marble Madness on the NES, and they like speed ran that. And then the one dude goes, and then they go blah blah blah, and he goes, no worries. He then speed runs it, two player, on his own, and he turns one of the controllers around because it's easier for him. And it's like, so he's doing two players on his own. One of them's upside down. I'm like, shit balls. If the NSA doesn't snatch up that dude to crack codes, they are crazy, because he can just, he is a computer. People are incredible.
And here's you and I, we wouldn't be able to do it with one controller and finish the game. This guy's speed running with two controllers.
I can't get through the first stage of Shinobi X, and that's really not that hard. How's your boys doing? Because we did talk last time about the little guy. You just give him like the old controller, and he thinks he's doing it. And your other fella, you talked about. Man, I have so much to talk because you guys work through Halo. I haven't told you my Xbox stories even yet. We can get into that because I was going to get them anyway. How are the boys doing with the gaming and respecting dad's space? And now there's two rooms to kind of to cordon off.
So disappointing update on my boys, which is
Oh no.
because Alex is in school, so obviously him and his school friends chat a lot, and he's got onto Roblox.
Okay.
So they've given up the Xbox, the Switch, the Daytona, and they're
Oh.
just both obsessed now. They play. The good thing is they play together, but they're both playing Roblox.
Yeah.
Both my boys, they've
Yeah.
given up. Yeah, not interested in Switch, Xbox, nothing.
Oh.
And I've been like, saying, okay, come play Mario Kart with Dad. Do this, do that. They just don't want a bar of it anymore.
Well,
Roblox, and that's
yeah.
it.
Well, last time we talked, that's where my daughter was. She was deep. She started with a doorknob and traded up to a mansion kind of crap. And also last time we talked, I had the Wii out and she had just recently beat me at Mario Kart on the Wii for $50 because I was like, you beat me, you get it. And so in the last probably 4 months, I've really cranked the Wii U up, did a custom firmware and everything's on a hard drive. And Mario Kart 8, I think, is one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen. It doesn't really matter. It's just my personal opinion. But
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I
Yep.
remember playing it one night about around 2019 at Bartronica. We were there for like a Gundam thing, and we had a few beers. And I started playing this game, and I was like, "What is this? What is this? This is gorgeous and amazing." And I don't even have to play. I'm just enjoying this, the colors, the shapes, everything about it. So we cranked this out, and again, I said to my daughter, "You beat me, I give you $20." She's like, "You gave me 50 last time." I'm like, "Calm down, bro. Just $20." And over a couple of weeks, she got better and better, and now she's a beast. I picked up four of the pro controllers from CEX for like $35 each. I think that controller is, apart from the Saturn controller, because I'm just a fanboy, that Wii U Pro controller, which I think they've done for the Switch again, is one of the
Yeah,
most
yep.
gorgeous feeling controllers. It's like when you eat something and you're like, that just tastes delicious. I'm not even going to ask why. So we've got four of them, and my wife and I play with her, and she just trashes us. And I've copied her bike, I've copied her tires. I get the same weight range character, and she runs Toad. I get Yoshi, and she just smokes us. And I'm like, I'm just getting old and slow. Clearly, she's just picking the right line. She's just being where she needs to be. And I'm sorry to hear about your boys. That's horrible.
No, I'll be working on them. I'm sure they'll get sick of it soon enough, but it's what the school friends are doing, so they're into it. You can play with your friends online with it. But Mario Kart 8, 100% agree with you. I've been playing it back again now because I got the online for the Switch, so I got the booster courses and all the extra cars and everything. And I'm just playing it on the Switch, and just their first party games, Nintendo, they just look so good,
Don't
compared to anything else, all the third party stuff, which looks
know.
terrible on Switch, and then you just see the game is just gorgeous, everything, just such a good looking game.
I really want to tell you about my Xbox stuff because we left it off last time. I was about to get them. I don't want to talk too much. I want to give you the opportunity because I'm such a yabra.
No, you're good.
What I ended up getting was a 360, and it was a bit hard to get the disc out, so I just took the faceplate off and pushed the thing with a paperclip, and I got an OG. So when I got the OG, I turned it on. I'm like, what am I? There's a few games. It's like, sure, I don't really know what to do with this. And it was making a lot of noise inside. I was like, I'm going to clean the fan out and the vents and shit. I opened it up, and inside it is this little like matchbox size red PCB soldered into a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, what do we got here? And I'd already bought like a copy of Pandora Tomorrow and a hard drive and these like dual IDE cables so I could clone it and blah, 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 blah. And I opened it up. I was like, what is this? So I found like a bit of writing on the PCB. I looked it up. It's already modded. There's already shit on the hard drive. You just like, you don't just press the power button, you hold the power button and it glows kind of like red. And I was like, you are kidding me. So it was bombed up with all this stuff, including Halo, obviously. And I remember talking to you about I was going to get a HDMI converter and stuff, and it was just RCA. I was like, what? This is like a Stone Age thing. I thought this was more futuristic. So I've got a Sony Trinitron, about a 27-inch one or whatever. It runs everything from NES, PC Engine, Mega Drive, PS1, PS2. And I plug this in, and it just the whole dashboard, everything about the original Xbox is gorgeous. Like, it is freaking amazing. And I was playing Halo, which I'm kind of terrible at twin stick shooters, but I was like, this is an amazing game. Like, I want to play this. I feel what's going on. I can see stuff. You know, I grew up on a bit of Quake and stuff like that, but this was amazing. And that's I got you to thank because I didn't really care about anything Xbox until we last spoke. And it's super rewarding. The only problem I've got at the moment is the 360. It was going online, and then I was watching the only play a game I play on 360 is Skate 3. I just sit on my couch and just skate around the university and just like just chill. I've got a bunch of games. It used to go online when I first got it, and then just last night I was watching a video about because they're shutting down the shop. There's a bunch of games that are free. I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. I'm like, I get that, and now I'm getting these ICMP errors, and I tried to Google it. I think my Telstra routers had an update somewhere and it's just grumpy because I did all the things that everybody ever done since 2017 and I just can't get on. So I'm bummed.
That's I did hear that they were shutting down the store because I've still got my Xbox 360 set up here because I've just got a couple of arcade games like Ninja Turtles and X-Men and things like that on it, which they don't transfer over to your newer consoles. You can't
Oh,
download them
no.
anymore, so I still have it out to play those. It's not modded. Yours is not modded though. Your 360.
No. I
Nah.
want to. I've looked into it because everything should be modded. It's mine now.
I see them pop up time to time. There's a guy on Facebook and he mods them and just
Because
puts
there's
a
the
bigger
whole
hard drive and they got
JTAG
every
thing
game.
and stuff, isn't it? Is that what it is? The JTAG?
The gamer tag.
There's a, I think JTAG was the 360 kind of exploit or something that I, there's that
Right, I'm not too
modern vintage
familiar. Yep.
gamer. He kind of covers a lot of that stuff. And yeah, it's,
Yeah, no, I'm not too familiar
and you
with
see
that.
360 games like in every op shop for like $3. They seem to be this thing that whether they're good or not, but have you got a fairly exclusive, like, I know you said you had a lot of 360, but is it a lot? Do you have a lot?
So 360 and the original Xbox, I've got a decent amount. I'll tell you now because
Would you have like a rough
I've got an
percentage?
app
Are
now.
you in the high 90s
I
percentage?
got 150 Xbox 360,
What about a percentage
150
of like
games.
the Australian release? Would you have an idea?
What do you mean by
Like
Australian release?
the games you've collected, what percentage of games
Yep.
do you think you've got in your collection now?
They're all, I think, other than one or two, which were US exclusive, they're all Australian releases. Like pretty much I brought all most of them, while the system was out
Right.
currently.
Is there not a region lock for the 360?
That's a good question because I've got two games that are US, but I don't think there is because I remember at the time there was like a game, an RPG called Blue Dragon that came out, and I think a lot of people at the time were importing it. I can't remember now off the top of my head because everything I've got is Australian.
Do you, is it still sort of fairly accessible to collect for the 360, do you think?
Yeah, 360 Xbox stuff is still fairly reasonable. It's sort of like the, I guess, the least desirable one to collect for, even though I like Xbox. Least desirable one to collect for. So a lot of the stuff, it's not too bad. 360 especially, there's just so much of it around. So it's, you'll get the odd game here or there. It could be worth $100 or something like that now. But for the
Hmm.
most part, they're pretty cheap. And PS3's similar. PS3's pretty good to collect for just certain games here and there. You know, they start to get up to 50 to $100 and even more here. You know, there's a couple other rare ones that, you know, a little bit over $100, 150. So.
And since like Series S, how have you kind of found the Xbox experience? Are you still like you're still getting the tattoos and stuff, and you're still injecting it into your veins, or have you kind of if you're like, something's changed, and I'm not sure I'm happy with it.
So I still use my Xbox Series X as my main console.
Right.
So I've got a PS5, obviously, but the PlayStation, because I don't have the online subscription for PlayStation, I use that just for exclusive PlayStation games. And Xbox, I've got Game Pass. So I use that for all third-party games. And obviously, everything that comes out on Game Pass, I just download it now. And then if I want to buy it physically, I'll just wait till it's on sale, you know, when it's cheap, you know, it could be $20, and then I'll buy it to add to the collection. And I thought we would have another generation of consoles where we would still have physical media, but it's looking more and more likely that the next release of consoles is going to just be digital only, which as a collector does pain me. But at the same time, then I just think, okay, well, that leaves me more shelf space for retro games then.
At least it sort of stops, and you're like, okay, I can only work back from there. I don't have to keep shelling out for, the new pair of socks or the new packet of cards that's to marked with the new console or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just, you know, I guess people our age, we didn't know any different, so that's what we're accustomed to. But if you look at sort of the younger kids these days, they're not interested in buying Blu-rays and physical games. They just download everything. It's just easier, less clutter. No one, yeah.
One thing I was going to say before when we were talking about the Dreamcast and that, and sort of flicking through Insta here, is something I'm really trying to get hold of for a decent price is light guns, especially for like Saturn and PlayStation. And they come up and they're still well over $100. And I haven't found one locally where I can kind of take it and test it. And I've spoken to a couple of people about importing them from Japan. They're like, there's a very good chance they won't get past customs just because they resemble a firearm. You seem to have a couple, and I guess maybe did you get in early and you just picked them up? Like, they're becoming rare, the light guns.
Yeah, so I was trying to see if I could get it off the shelf. My Dreamcast one, I got that from Cashies for like $20 in the box when the Dreamcast was still around. And the Saturn one, I never had a Saturn when I was younger, but the light gun that my parents brought us, which we actually used to use on Die Hard Trilogy on PS1, it actually has two connections, so you could put it on Sega Saturn or you could put it on PS1. So I've actually still, yeah, I've still got that light gun, but I do have an official Sega one now, which I bought because the box art is beautiful and it has Virtual Cop on it. But yeah, they are like, if you buy it in the bundle for Sega Saturn, it's like $150 that people are asking for them now, so they're not cheap. If you get it without the box, a little bit cheaper, but
I
they're
guess
still pretty pricey.
that's pretty reasonable though, isn't it, for a Saturn accessory. I was pretty amazed when I sort of found these arcade sticks. So the one I've got is the all black one. It's the first one. Now I did open it up just to kind of, because it was making like a squeaky noise, and where the shaft goes down into like a little cup, I just had to put a little tiny bit of like oil in there just to kind of lubricate that, so it was plastic against plastic. And it's effectively, and I didn't really realize, it's effectively a massive game pad. It's all those same kind of contacts. There's the little rubber things inside. They're like a Game Boy, like everything else, like the SNES one. It feels a lot better than the one that came with the SNES. So then the next version, the kind of gray one, is it's actually got like a micro switch stick. So I'm kind of like, oh, because this one, after a while, does feel a little bit, when you play it a bit, it feels a little bit lazy. Like, there's games that are so much better. Like, if you learn to actually use a game, okay, stick properly, but that. And then I went down the rabbit hole and I'm looking at like this. The ultimate one was the, it's like there's a big two player one that
Yeah, I know
it's
exactly which one
all
you're
the
talking about.
switches
Yes, yeah.
and people are still replacing the buttons with Samwa buttons. And you're like, oh my God. But there still is issues where like the art starts to peel and you can't do this, you can't do that. But the single version of that looks just like a kind of a, one of those particular machines that the Japanese machines where it's all one big plastic thing.
Yeah, the candy cabs.
Just beautiful stuff. So I'm trying to hold back and it's like, what do I need? And I think I don't need to buy this massive two-player thing.
They're so expensive. They're like a grand, those ones.
Yeah, I
But
don't need
if you got
that.
the single, if you got the, it's basically it replicates an arcade. Pretty, it's pretty much they've just taken out of the arcade and put some controller plugs on it. But the other ones are still pretty pricey as well. It's still like the Virtua Stick.
Yeah, well, that's what I
If you're
got.
just getting a single one, they're like 200, 200 bucks plus still.
But it adds, I mean, in what I've saved in actually buying games, which is like $1 trillion, because
Yes,
I
yeah.
can play Panzer Dragoon 1 and 2. That's like probably $2,000 right there or something stupid. I can afford to buy a decent arcade stick. Since us talking, and I only recently got this. Sean was in Japan, brought me back a PC Engine. I'm not sure if you know much about them or have looked into them at all.
No, not too much. No, I've got to limit my collecting. I've got too much stuff as it is, and I'll find something else interesting, and I'll be like, oh, I need to collect this too. No.
It's pretty amazing. I actually got the Core Graphics 2, so it's pretty much the last iteration. And then I got an AliExpress because they use a thing called a Hue card, which for those who don't know, it's like Hudson Soft was the original kind of creator. So it was like a Hudson Soft card. And it's like a really thick credit card. And that just sort of slides in the front. And this is one like that, but it's got a whole bunch of components on top with a shield and the SD card. There is one out there by the Everdrive mob that does, with any PC Engine, it'll also play PC Engine CD, which is pretty amazing. I think there's a bunch of FPGA on the card that does all the CD stuff, which is pretty amazing. But I got this and I was like, this is crazy. Like it is, there's some of the most gorgeous gaming I've ever seen. And then what I just recently got is this, I'll show you, but well, here's the box. It's from Brook. It's a game controller super converter, but effectively I take this and I can plug this into my PC Engine and it'll take any sort of PC, PS3, PS4, Windows type controller, and then you can play the PC Engine or Mega Drive with it. It'll also do Bluetooth to like a normal controller. And so I got that, and it wasn't very expensive. I think about like 40, 50 bucks. Got this really shitty like Windows fight stick, and I was like, it works. But yeah, again, that opens up. There's so many good shooters and stuff on the PC Engine that really need. Like I've got big sausage Ninja Turtle fingers and the controller's gorgeous, but there's not enough room for me to flap around. So it's nice. It's nice to have things that make your experience better.
I've only seen sort of YouTube videos, of those games, but not anything I've been into. Are they expensive?
The PC Engine. I mean, it's like anything, it's relative to the one you get. The one I got has a tiny little nick on it, which is not noticeable in my shelf. Otherwise, it works perfectly fine. It came in a, the box is absolutely mint, gorgeous. Like Sean, I said to Sean, just get whatever. And most of the time you see those guys walking around shops in Japan, it's all kind of like plastic wrapped and this one's in the box with the foam, original power supply, original RF thing, original controller. It's this kind of like this beautiful kind of I don't know how well it come up for you, but it's this beautiful kind of gray and oranges, and there's all these variations and stuff. And I think I paid like just over $200 for it or something like that.
My
Sean,
brother's in Japan at the moment, so I could tell him to bring me one back.
yeah, man, you can get one in, and if it's a Jap one, obviously, and also you don't need like a 240, 110. It's just a plug in the back, so. Like a lot of the older ones, the power supply is external. So you could just go to J Car and get a power supply for like $30. So look, and it's fun. And the little card I got, yeah, I'll show you. It's just here. You know, it's like about this big, and the SD goes in the bottom of it. This is like $32 off AliExpress, and I'm living like a king. It's pretty great. Yeah, so
I've actually been my brother's in Japan, and when he goes to a game store, he'll FaceTime me, and I'm been looking for Pepsi Man for PS1,
oh yeah.
which was a Japanese only release. But yeah, it's so hard to get a hold of. So
Yeah.
hard. Even the retro game stores there, they don't have it. But yeah, heaps of consoles, heaps of consoles. He'd have to bring home another suitcase if I told him this. Yeah, get me this
What
PS2, get me this, get me
do
that.
you
He'd have
want?
to bring home another suitcase.
All
Yeah.
of it. Yeah, look, the PC Engine was one of those things that, isn't it funny how you have goals and then you think, oh, if one day, and you go, oh, never. And then when I got it, I was like, I've reached it, you know, and it really started to fit in with my kind of journey and stuff. Like, it's actually pretty gorgeous. Yeah, I'll show it you. Everybody else can just Google ones. This is the Core Graphics 2. So this was the last iteration. This is the one you want. It's that kind of beautiful dark gray with this. I don't know how well you can see that striking burnt orange of the logo and
Yeah.
that. And the controller's
Yep.
the same. It's got this nice label. It's not, there's nothing, ooh, trying to get it right for you. Anybody can go Google one. Freaking
Yeah.
gorgeous. This is the one you want because it's got AV out to like composite. It's got the extension or external bus on the back. But if you don't get this one, you got to get like a, it's either out to RF or you buy a little thing that plugs in that does RGB or component composite or whatever sort of thing. It's just one of those things that it's because they had the TurboGrafx 16 in the US. And I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it's about three times the size. They took it and stuck it like in the biggest boat they kind of could. And it's all hollow and empty. But marketing in America, you know, they love their big trucks and cars and but yeah, it's just amazing. It's just one of those things that. And look, collecting again, if you've got people in Japan, like Sean brought me back out the games. I just grabbed me a couple of iconics, like in the jewel case, so Bomberman and
Oh, nice.
the original R type, you know, and it's still got on the back there's the Hudson Soft sticker, and it just the little cards are just such a unique. I'm trying to break this one. They're such a unique format. This is it. Yeah, it's
Oh,
literally
yeah.
like a credit card and the stuff on the back and. They're just something else, and you can keep a lot of them. But again, it's one of those things where if you were over there, you could probably just come back with $1,000 worth of games you just shoved in a basket and went, I don't really know what to do with all these now, kind of thing, you know.
I know, I don't need to go down another rabbit hole. That's a problem.
No, you could,
Yeah.
if you sold all that, imagine how much PC Engine stuff you could buy. Look, I
No.
look at what you've done, and I see you're such like an Aussie sort of gaming collector, like. The Xbox and the PlayStation, it's there's certainly markets like parts of the world where you see that someone really like in Europe they maybe there's a real Mega Drive type sort of attitude and that's kind of what they grew up on stuff like that. And I think it's one of the things I love about doing this is meeting people and sort of seeing some people just got older and afforded it. Like I had nothing, so when I was a little older and got money, I'm like, right, now I'm getting stuff and just keep. You just, it's Pandora's box. You just keep peeling off layers and layers and layers. And some people like yourself that got everything. Last time we talked about a picture of you in McDonald's with your dad with your Game Boy, you know, and he's just like, the words I use were, he's playing it like a boss, you know. And I love hearing people's stories from the beginning up to the most amazing collection, you know, that people would be super proud of.
I guess one of the problems, I guess it's a problem that I had was my grandfather spoiled me when I was a kid. But in regards, when I say spoiled me, so obviously PlayStation games were like $100 a pop, back then. And I don't know if I'd mentioned this last time when we had spoken, but I had the PS1, and I had probably 30 original games. And remember, my auntie was dating this guy at the time, and we started, showing him the PlayStation, and he was, really interested in it. And the next time we met up with him, he goes, "Oh, how many games did you say that you had? I've got 30 games already." And we're like, "How did you get so many games?" And he explained, "I got my PlayStation chipped, and the games are only $10 or $15, compared to 100." And my parents had thought, "Well, that's great. We don't want to spend $100 a game. We can get them for $15." And we ended up getting the PlayStation chipped. And my grandfather, well, I grew up with my grandfather, spent a lot of time with him. He would take me every Saturday to the market. We used to go to the market, or in America, swap meet, or whatever they want to call it. And there was a guy there, and every weekend he was there, and he'd be selling burnt games. So my grandfather would buy me two games every week.
Oh, sick.
So that's what sort of drove this. I had so many games. I played so many games because they were accessible. It was cheap. And then, sort of as I got older, then I was like, had memories, fond memories of those games. It's like, oh, I want that game. I want that game. And started buying them original copies, So that was really only for PS1 and Dreamcast is sort of what I remember having copied games for.
So you had a
And then
Dreamcast when
any.
you were younger.
Yeah, so I got a Dreamcast like 2 weeks after it came out. And the guy that we actually got it secondhand, but the guy we got it from the trading post, so that's probably only
Oh
older
my
people will
God.
remember the
Yeah,
trading post.
in the newspaper.
Yeah, so we got it. It was about, I think it was $500, but it came with two controllers and like 10 burnt games.
Yeah, sick. Pre-chipped.
No, they had a boot disc, so
Oh,
you'd put the
right.
disc in, it would boot up, you'd open it up, and you'd put the copy game in, and
Yeah,
it'd play it
sick.
straight away.
So good.
So they were the two that I've sort of had burnt games on, and then anything, obviously, 64 I had original games, and anything after that was all original games. But that sort of struck the fire and made me sort of the way I am, but just because I'd played so many different games just because they were cheap, and my grandfather would buy them for me. So now I'm sort of, collecting those ones that I had memories of, but I'm trying now to focus on just the ones that I want. Like, say if I happen to pop into Cashies and they've got a PS1 game, and you don't see them that often at Cashies, but it's not something that I've got any nostalgia for or that I'm interested in, I won't buy it. Like, at one point, I'll just buy it because it's a PS1 game. You don't see that Cashies that often. But now I'm at that stage where it's like, do I really need it? Do I have any, do I want to play this, or do I have any memories of this? I won't just buy it just for the sake of it now.
Right. Let's narrow down to something like let's say like PS3 or Xbox 360. Is there games around that even though you might already own a pristine copy and you could probably get one on Facebook reasonably easy, are there games around that you're like, if you see it, just grab it because it's not like one of those super rare gems, but it's a game that's worth kind of just hanging on to. But like any of those sort of generation consoles, or is everything pretty much either people have got it, it's scooped, or you'll never see it, and someone will ask $500 for it.
If it's something like, maybe I've got it, but I come across it cheap, and it might be just, it's worth more than what I'm going to buy it for, I'd buy it and just sell it. Like, I wouldn't grab it just for the sake of it. Maybe to sell it so I can buy something else that I do want. Yeah, maybe. Not most of the stuff that I want,
There's no like market hints you're going to give us tips on certain games that are like, if you see this one, yeah, call me first.
Nah, not really. I got through COVID a few times, like locally. I got lucky with people just selling stuff really cheap, maybe just getting rid of it. Like, I got copies of Lollipop Chainsaw, which is a bit of an obscure game. I
That
think I got
name's
it for like five.
confusing.
Yeah. it was think It's not a game I'm interested in. I got it for like $5, but it was selling for $90. And I actually picked up two copies of it for that price. And I got lucky. I was at an op shop and actually never heard of the game, had no idea about it. I think it's a weird name. It's a Japanese title. It's like Siren Blood Curse, something like that. It's a like a horror game. I think I got that for $3, and that was like $100 or $120 game at the time.
Wow.
So
Yeah.
I didn't keep it because I had no interest in it. I just sold them so I could buy things that I am interested in.
Yeah. It's crazy what games do come up. Like, I'm a Godzilla fan, like just generally kaiju stuff, and there's a Godzilla game for like on the it's PS3 and PS4, and it just goes for the silliest money, and like people are like, it's a terrible game. I'm like, I just want it because it's Godzilla related. I've played it on PS3, but yeah, I'm not paying $200 for this game. Like, it's going for $200, and I'm like, oh, that's not fair kind of stuff, you know.
So yeah, if it's a game I really want, $200 is probably not that bad for me. But
Okay.
some of the other crazy ones that I've got, it's pretty insane. But I'm getting to the point. Yeah, it's like I've got a lot of the big ticket ones that I want, so it doesn't. I'm happy. I'm at that stage where I don't have to chase those ones that are
Yeah.
just asking crazy money. But
Yeah.
yeah, and I was mentioning before, like Kirby on Nintendo 64. I had that a while ago, and I think, you know, around 2014, I sold that game. I think at that time I'd sold it for $700. It was complete in
Wow.
box. Yeah, I'd sold it because I wanted to buy some rims for my car at the time.
That's incredible.
And now that game, people are asking $3,000 for it if it's complete in the box,
Oh,
which is
damn.
just insane.
You could
Just
buy
insane.
rims and spinners now. Gold plated.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That's bonkers. Last time we spoke, we were just, I think we were all just coming out here in our part of the world. We were sort of coming out of lockdown. And you'd mentioned that there was a few, like, you guys were actually getting together down there. Like, has that continued for you? And how has that sort of grown or dissolved, or what's come of that?
We still have been catching. There's a few of us in Melbourne. We've still been catching up. Not as much recently. I've been pretty busy with work. Work's been pretty hectic, but I didn't go to PAX this year. My wife was going away to Sydney, so I was at home with the boys. But
Yeah,
generally
good, good.
around PAX time, you know, a lot of
Yeah.
us catch up. Even you know, guys from Queensland and New South Wales and things like that. They come down, and you know, we sort of all conga together, the Instagram, you know, little community that we have. And now I've got a couple of, through our meetings and interactions, I've got a couple of three or four, a handful, you know, guys that I catch up with regularly. They live close by, so we'll catch up and go
Oh,
for a
that's
dinner
handy.
and have some beers, or you know, go to, you know, just go for a drive on a day and have a look at some of the retro game stores, things like that. Which is good.
What's the sort of store scene like in Melbourne?
There's a new place opened a couple of months back. I think it was a couple of months back, could be a little bit longer. There's probably three or four of them around in Melbourne that are close by. Like for me, it's probably still 45 minute to an hour drive.
Right.
So when I say close, somewhat close, it's still a bit
Yeah.
of a journey. You got to make a day of it.
Yeah. It must be kind of I guess it's a blessing in disguise. It must be tough when you've got a lot of what you want and you're very aware of the value of what it is you don't have. And like I can sort of remember the days of like you don't see it so much, you know, going to a record store and just seeing dudes just and ladies, whatevs. Just flipping through records, looking for what's here today. What do they got in? Especially a secondhand record store. So for you, it must be like I could drive there, or I could just sit on eBay and wait till something comes up and just have it delivered to my door. Like, do you still find physical stuff out in the wild, apart from the occasional kind of Facebook stuff, like at stores? Because these dudes are paying rent, and we all know what's going on economically. The price of everything is going up.
And that's a difficult one. So there's nothing better than going into a store and holding the item in your hand and looking at it, and it's something that you need, and you find it out in the wild, and that's great.
Make sure the little disc holder
Unfortunately,
isn't broken.
exactly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not like as big as the US, so it's very niche. And yes, the price, you know, by the time I factor in my time,
fuel.
petrol to drive. Yeah, petrol to
It's a
drive. It's like
$50
an hour.
trip.
It's an hour journey, so it's cost me, $50 before I leave the house. And then the prices are pretty expensive, and we understand they got to pay rent and employees and things like that. And a lot of the time, they're probably more expensive than eBay. And I'm after specific things. I know what I'm after. Most of these places have websites, so I can have a look. It's hard to justify, sort of I'm at the point where there's only really certain things that I want and a couple more things I want to tick off and add. But yeah, so I still go, I'll have a look, see what's around. But
I guess
the
it's probably
pricing is.
it's good to buy. I mean, I'm the sort of person where I don't go to stores because, unlike you, I'm fortunate enough to have, all the SD card dealios and stuff, and so there's never really anything I want. But I guess for those of us that do, it's good to still sort of put a bit of money over the bar for those stores that are still alive. There's only one or two. Only like one. I think it's Eddie's here in Brisbane, down near Mount Gravatt or whatever. And there's lots of stuff there. I just recently got into, for ages, I wanted an Atari 2600. It's just so rudimentary, and I hadn't had one for ages. And I remember being down there a few years ago and just seeing buckets of cartridges and a 2600, like a Woody, six switch Woody for like $90. I was like, I should have grabbed it. And it's good to sort of go to those places and just put a bit of money over the bar. My 2600 stuff has been pretty interesting because I did pick one up locally for $100 in unknown condition, and it's in near perfect condition. All the wood stuff on the front's not peeled, it's all perfect. There's a little tiny nick on one of the near one of the switches, and I got it with a few games, and I got it home. I was like, I love that feeling of when I bought it off a chick off Facebook. I went after work and she sort of was like, just gave me a Woolies bag. And she's like, hey, here you go. I don't think it's got a power supply or something. I'm like, all right. And I talked her down to like $60. She's like, yeah, I don't care. She said, it's actually my brother's, but he won't even know it's gone. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be okay? She goes, no. My brother's like 45, like me. Like, we've had these in our house. This thing's literally been sitting like in the bottom of my wardrobe for like 30 years. And I instantly feel like I'm part of their family because like it was similar when I bought my Mega Drive and I had a heap of sport games, which I had zero interest in. And I said to the guy, like, oh, what's the history? He goes, oh, mate, my brother and I have shared so many black eyes over this console kind of thing, playing football and basketball and punching each other in the face and stuff. So I love that feeling of getting something that's been somewhere. Like when I got the Famicom and I was just like, and they got the Famicom's got this like 12-inch cable to the controller hardwired. And I'm like, somewhere, some little Japanese kid was like literally like this far from the telly in the tiny little kitchen playing Kirby. And I love that aspect of the thing. I don't believe in like energy and stuff, but I love that this has been somewhere before me and now I get to be part of it. And yeah, you must get that with some of the things, but a lot of stuff you get is just like brand new in box. It hasn't had a life. Someone bought it, shelved it, and now it's on your shelf.
I think that with the kiosk
Oh, yeah, of
is the
course.
most interesting thing for me. Yeah, it's like they're in a store, so many people
Little
have
Johnny's
played
rocking up
them.
and batting away at them.
Yeah, a lot of kids that would have been their first time or first experience playing a Nintendo 64 or playing a PS1 or an Xbox. So those sort of things, like if that could talk, the stories, could tell you. So yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
So the kiosk is, have you got all the kiosks that you want?
Yeah, that's it now. Like there's I'm
I'm
at
laughing.
my,
I'm
my
sorry, but
yeah, no, my wife
you've got the key
has.
ones though, haven't you? You've got the Xbox, you've got the PlayStation, and you've got the Nintendo. I mean, that was the sort of the meat, veggies, and dessert of you growing up in gaming. So you've got those three rainbow colors nailed.
Yeah, unless I buy a bigger house, I've got no more
Oh,
room
okay.
anyway, right? So I'm out of room, so I've got that restriction.
Those boys
My
will
wife's
move out one day.
exactly. Then, yeah,
Kiosk room.
another case. But no, my wife's had enough of me, so I've got to behave now. She's been pretty tolerant of me, but there's no more room. So, I came across there was actually a GameCube one probably 2 months ago on Facebook Marketplace, and it was in great condition. The price was pretty good. But I was just holding out because I was sort of still in negotiations to try and get this 64 one, which was probably more my preference anyway. But they still do pop up from time to time. But yeah, I've got enough. I can only accumulate so many things. You know, I've got the arcades. I've got so many games already. I've got three kiosks. You know, glass display cabinets. There's just yeah. I can't go.
Yeah,
There's
for
nothing
sure.
else I could get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My collection is more about small things. Like I have little miniatures and figures and just crap, and I've run out of room. And it's actually kind of nice to not have space to fill in a way. Because
Well, it
it's
helps
like,
you stop looking for things, doesn't it? Because you know that you're like, I got nowhere to put this anyway, so.
It would be a waste if I had it. And like, what do I get rid of? Nothing. Well, you just can't have it then. I'm still trying to find one of the Star Wars limited edition Xbox 360s with the R2D2 shell and the three. And I'm looking at yours right now, the box in pretty good shape, and the C3PO controller looking in pretty good shape. And again, I'll see one pop up for like $120. I'm like, that's worth it. And I don't have the money that week. And then I'll sell some old stuff and I'll come up and I'll be like, please be one there this week. So I'm still not even in box, just to get one that hasn't been. I see a lot of like Xboxes, 360s are coming up for like $50 all the time. And it looks like a family of cats lived on it.
Yeah, they're
They're just,
thrashed.
they're awful, covered in sticky juice and fur and all. God, and I'm like, oh no, it's not even worth $50, mate. Seriously.
The Star Wars one is probably one of my favorite ones. It's just it looks the design, it looks,
Nailed
you know,
it.
along with the controller, they nailed
Yeah.
it, the
Yeah.
startup noises that it makes. It's just, yeah, that's one of the better ones for sure.
It'll turn up one day. One day. Who knows?
Yeah, you'll get one. It'll come up.
Yeah, I've got a little spot over there just waiting for it. It's the last spot. Hopefully I get that before I get six other things. Yeah, look, we might start wrapping up, Johnny. You've given me a lot of your time and I really do appreciate it. Again, this is a Saturday and we're both dads and things, but yeah, look, I know last time we spoke is like nearly 2 years ago and I'd come a long way and it looks like you've just sold it on and you've got a whole new room. And that's really good to be able to actually move stuff around and enjoy it more. I think it's hard for me to understand sometimes people that are in any kind of hobby, whether it be doing a thing or collecting a thing, that just they sort of just do it for domination. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. And I really love talking to people like you where you're just fulfilling your own dreams, you're keeping your heart warm. You know, and anybody that's close to you is welcome to come in and also enjoy the space. And look, the boys will come around. Don't worry about it. You know, they'll be back and you'll be like, oh, really? Okay. Well, and you could do my thing and just say if you beat me at this, I'll give you $20. Like that gets their attention, eh?
Might have to ban if we talk again. I might have to ban the iPad so I can tell you that they've been playing Switch or Xbox.
Maybe. Who knows? So yeah, look, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to sort of I asked about any of the guys you were sort of rolling with and other people you've been getting info and stuff off. So if you've got anybody off the top of your head, I can get some show notes off you later. You can throw me some Insta tags or whatever.
Yeah, no, pretty much, yeah. There's a couple of guys on Instagram, but I'll send you
Yeah.
some notes so you can probably it's
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
easier. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
are these like sort of just Xbox guys or
Yeah, just every.
do you have like some really Xbox specific people and some really PlayStation specific people that they just give you like, you know, that's just sushi and that's just pizza and that's what I go for?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So, like, if there's something specific, like pretty much when I was going to buy the Xbox kiosk, there's a guy, he actually has two of them. So, you know, I was asking him, oh, what do I look out for?
Yeah, you don't
Where's
need
things
two.
that
What do you got two
break?
for?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what things break, you know, when you transport it at home, you know, what do I need to look out for? So, you know, you ask those questions and everyone's willing to help you.
You got that one pretty close to you, did you, when you the Nintendo 64 one?
About an hour, but I didn't pick it up this time, so I didn't want the risk of breaking it because there's some plastic pieces on it, and if you break them,
It's over.
good luck finding them. So I actually got a transport company to bring it over to me, so it
Oh,
was a bit
really?
easier.
I don't know.
Yeah, they just chucked it in their van.
I think I'd rather just get it myself than trust some freaking, 20-year-old tattooed weekend chump to just throw my kiosk around.
Nah, it was an older guy. He was very careful. So where I got it from, this guy actually had it on a in a townhouse up on a second story. But
Jesus.
he had to get them. Yeah, he had to get them to actually bring it down for him. So I spoke to them over the phone, and I had enough confidence in them to bring it down. Otherwise, I was getting a truck myself to take it.
So was it disassembled at all for transport?
Nah, so I went there and I had a look at it first, and then I just took the controllers apart and a couple of plastic pieces I took off just so they don't slide out on the way. So I just pulled, yeah, just the controller arms and things just to make it a bit easier to get through doorways.
So was the kiosk just like the kiosk, or did it have controllers and a monitor and speakers and everything with it?
The guy kept the con he had a console in there with the EverDrive, which is what I've got now. I bought my own. He wanted to keep that, so I took that apart so he could keep it. But came the TV and everything is bolted in part of the assembly. So yeah, that's got all the stickers on there saying it's property of Nintendo. So.
That's pretty wicked, eh? Gorgeous. All right, mate. I will. Let's just wrap this up then. I really do appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming back and risking it for the biscuit. And helping me out, and it's really great to talk to you. Thank you for it's hard to say. I mean, you just like there's been a lot of things I've done and thought about and taken action on that's based on your conversations last time we spoke. And I think that's what I really like the most about this is that everybody's just if you love something, just go and grab it. And if you know someone else that you know is going to love it, tell them to grab it as well. And I really, you're good people, and I like talking to good people about the things that I like because it is a bit niche. I'm in a job now where I can talk about mountain biking. I'm in a mountain biking job now. I used to talk to my friends at work, my mates, about mountain biking, and I might as well be talking about scuba diving on Mars. They're all just into cricket and footy and stuff like that. And now I work with other mountain bikers, and it's so good. And it's the same with retro gaming when you get to talk to someone that speaks your language and you walk away with, I have plans, fresh plans. It's a good feeling. So thank you, mate.
No, you're most welcome. Thanks for having me back on. I'm glad I was a bad influence on you last time and got you into Sega, so that's good.
It's
And good luck with the podcast. I'm glad that you've brought it back and look forward to listening when you have some more guests on.
no worries. All right, bud. I'm going to let you go. Thank you a lot for your time. Have a great weekend, and we will be in touch.
No worries. Thank you.